very excited to bring to you our next rocket ship here that I'm really excited to have another great run with you on. Also very excited to have our CEO and owner, Anthony Geisler, on the call with us, as well as our founder, Allison Beardsley, on the call, and Sean, our president. So they'll be joining us today on the call as well. I want to take maybe 40, 45 minutes to give you a nice brand overview, tell you about the special sauce on this one and some of the franchise model components. This one is really sexy and going to be a lot of fun. Then I want to open it up for a little Q&A from the franchisers out there and let our panel here kind of chime in on some Q&A here as we wrap up the call today. So to kick things off, you all know me pretty well, and we at St. Gregory, we really love the boutique fitness segment. As you all know, we're the largest development group in franchising by a pretty big gap. We like to focus on non-food concepts. We love kind of these early movers that really don't have a direct brand competitor whenever possible. With our success with other boutique fitness concepts, we were really looking for another opportunity in this area and something that was going to be truly unique for you all to present and something that wasn't going to have another Me Too or other Me Too businesses in it. I mean, if you just stop and think for a second about the opportunities that you have in your inventory to present, most of the time, if they are really the first mover, your clients are going to come back to you, and they're going to have to educate the market, which takes time. And on the flip side, if you're presenting a concept that has an already educated existing market that we can leverage, then, of course, they're going to come back to you to really talk to you about the other Me Too businesses that are already there that they have to compete against. And that's tough because then you're figuring out how to differentiate yourself. So what we love about this one is, we have an already existing educated market that's been in existence for decades, but there's no brand there. So this one's pretty unique in terms of our opportunity, really, to grow this one. So I want to take a few minutes just to give you the backdrop on how this one's kind of come about, and then kind of lead into some of the special sauce and an overview on the franchise model. So this concept was founded by Allison Beardsley, who's on the call with us today. She founded this brand back in 2007, about 9 years ago. She is that true visionary entrepreneur, started working at the early age of 13, paid her way through college, got a kinesiology degree, and then became an instructor, an applied instructor in the industry, very passionate about the space. In a downturn economy in 08, she used it as an opportunity to really grow a fitness segment market that was really pretty much exclusively reserved for wealthy or it was just primarily done in a one-on-one setting. She developed a group flowing Pilates experience. And as I like to say, she really kind of rewrote the playbook on the Pilates industry and revolutionized the Pilates world. She wrote a 2,000-page manual on teaching Pilates to small groups. And then she incorporated all her exercise science background and training into the training platform. She created a 500-hour accredited instructor training program as well to teach this method of Pilates. She then opened up her first platform studio in San Diego, California, was wildly successful with that unit, and opened a second, third, fourth, and fifth studio, all tremendously successful. And about 2.5 years ago, she decided to franchise the model. As she'll tell you this story, she was forced into it because she had such interest around her great brand and started to roll out, franchising concept. Typically with most emerging franchisers, as Allison did, she grew her brand organically initially, and she, within a 2-year period, actually sold 100 units and opened about 35 studios, most of those being multi-unit owners and, in the process of actually opening their second and third units even at this point. In fact, last time I saw Allison, I high-fived her and said, incredible, because as you all know, at St. Gregory, we build brands faster than anybody in the industry. And if we have a rocket ship, we'll do about 200 units a year, which we'll do with this one. But for an emerging entrepreneur to do 100 units in 2 years, that's incredible growth. And so this was you know, getting larger than Allison very quickly, and credit her for really understanding that it was time to bring in another party to really help take the business to the next level. So we'll talk a little about Anthony Geisler, who has come in and purchased majority share of the brand. He's our CEO and has just an incredible background in basically as an entrepreneur and specifically even in the boutique fitness world. Anthony founded the first boxing club franchise. He's been in boutique fitness for about 15 years, founded the first boxing club franchise called LA Boxing Club. So of all people, Anthony really understands really the advantage of being the first mover in a space or a category. Now you've got, you know, five other boxing club concepts in the franchise space, but Anthony founded and built the first. He built a world-class franchise store with hundreds of units across the country, and it was later bought by one of the investors from 24 Hour Fitness and UFC Gym. Anthony later moved on from that endeavor and really saw an opportunity in this category of boutique fitness. Again, really realizing the opportunity to be the first mover. I mean, when you think about boutique fitness in general, most programs of fitness have been franchised now. You know, you've got a dozen yoga franchises. You've got a half dozen, you know, ballet bar franchises. You've got a dozen what I would call kind of high-intensity, high-impact weight training, Orange Theory type, you know, CrossFit type concepts. You've got spin studios now, but there really is no other really true nationally branded franchise model, clearly with this network of units that Club Pilates has. So specifically, boutique fitness really has been growing at a rate of about 450% year over year for the last 5 years. That trend is going to continue. Piper Jaffray's done some reports on that. So really showing you where the growth is. The box transactional gyms really do not have an answer for it. So what's neat about this one is that, again, we're clearly the first mover in terms of a nationally branded franchise concept in this segment, but really there's no other what we consider to be a kind of a national brand. There's a couple other small ones, but nothing on this stature by any means. For those of you that are not familiar with Pilates, Pilates is an innovative system of what we call kind of mind-body exercise. It's using this piece of equipment primarily called a reformer that I'll show you here in a minute, and some other a variety of other Pilates tools. Mind-body exercise is really exercise. It's basically an activity that really keys in on the mental focus of physical movements is what I usually try to describe it as. It's been widely known to really teach body awareness, good posture. It's a kind of a graceful movement. Women especially love it because it doesn't build bulky muscles. It's long and lean muscles. Very low impact, improves flexibility. The list of pluses is kind of goes on and on, ranging from flexibility, agility, range of motion, widely advocated to alleviate back pain. So it's a tremendous form of exercise. Really one of the lowest impact forms of exercise there is, other than maybe swimming or biking. I've heard Allison say, you know, think of Pilates as, you know, basically swimming is to running, Pilates is to weight training. So it's very, very low impact. And I think what we love about it the most is that at any age or fitness level, everyone can do it. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason why I think we have such a great opportunity with the brand in terms of it being really an inclusive and affordable retail concept. You know, I mentioned to you that, you know, Allison kind of revolutionized the industry. Before Allison kind of developed her program, really what you had is you had Pilates being done in a one-on-one format or maybe semi-private. You might see it as many as five reformers, but really you won't really see anything else out there in terms of this 12 reformer model that you're seeing in this picture right now. So this is, again, very, very different. We have the widest array of classes as well. I think part of Allison's vision was really to kind of defunct the snobby Pilates, stigma and really open this up to the masses, both from an affordability standpoint, but also from the types of classes that she's offering. So she kind of created different levels of challenge from ranging from, 1 to 2.5. So for the most novice of user to the most discerning Pilates expert to the baby boomer segment to youth, teens, to a vastly growing obesity epidemic we have, and to moms and professionals in the middle. She really created this wide array of classes. Now, the other large growing segment of the brand is men. So you'll see a lot of guys also in some of the pictorials and in the video that I had sent out and some of the marketing materials that we have. So it's definitely a growing segment. You're seeing professional athletes do it. You're seeing, again, advanced age guys doing it. So it's definitely something that is very relevant. So we kind of look at it as kind of new yoga. There's a lot of, it's a program of exercise that's been around, again, for decades, but it's really, there's a lot of energy behind the space at this point. As I advance the slides here, if you look also, a couple of the added new components to the brand are we have now a retail component. That's kind of a boutique component to the front half of the business. We've added back into the studio. If you look here in the back, there's a one-on-one room in the back of the studio. So we've got privates. And then the other real course change with the brand is that it is membership-based, which we're going to talk about in a minute with the concept as well. What I love is that, talking about the brand in terms of having an educated market that already exists, you also have a labor pool that already exists. So you've got quite a substantial employee opportunity with the brand. From an HR standpoint, really you have two types of employees that work in the model. If I can actually go back to the slide here. One of the things I like about this brand is that you really have one key person that's really servicing this inventory. When I speak to inventory, I mean up to 12 reformers. Most executive models that we work with, it's a one-to-one relationship, whether it be hair care, retail massage, or oil changes. You have one stylist, or you have one massage therapist, or you have, one mechanic, performing one service. So in this model, you really have one instructor that's servicing up to 12 clients at the same time. So what that drives is great margins, because always in retail, your biggest expenses are rent and payroll. So you really have two employees that are working the business at any given time you're open. Essentially, you have one instructor teaching a class here, and then you have one front desk kind of concierge host in the front half that will actually take care of the front half of the business transactions, memberships, the merchandising aspect, and also kind of fielding walk-ins so they can do tours and et cetera, so we don't have missed opportunities when we have a client that walks in that wants to get more information. So you're seeing one of the neat things about the instructor model is that Allison also really wanted to create more of a career opportunity. Instructors that typically work in this industry, they're either working in an independent business or they're maybe teaching mat Pilates in a public gym, but nothing on this level. And so they're typically teaching a sporadic number of classes. They might be teaching a class at 6 a.m., another one at 11 a.m., or one at 7 p.m. at night. Kind of tough to have a life that way. So one of the neat opportunities with this business is that instructors will basically teach a shift. When you think about the model, we'll have basically anywhere from 6 to 8 classes a day, typically Monday through Thursday, and then we'll have anywhere from 4 to 6 on Friday through Sunday. So as you might guess, we'll have an early morning class, kind of a 7:30 a.m. class, 9 and a 10, for the moms after they drop the kids off. And then typically we'll be a little bit slower in the midday, and then we'll pick up again, in the afternoon through the early evening. So you might have a, 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 p.m. class in the afternoon and the evening. So your instructors will really teach anywhere from a 3 to a 5-hour shift and then they can go home and get back on with their lives and do whatever else they're doing, which is highly attractive to instructors. There's some other factors, I think, that really key in here on really being able to recruit some great talent in the labor pool with this model. Secondly, there's really from a pay plan structure, they can make more money. What Club Pilates has done has created really an incentive-based pay plan for the instructors. So basically, they make a base, and then for every reformer they fill beyond a certain number of reformers, they make more money. So they can make more money than they would make maybe teaching privates because they're getting a percentage of, you know, a greater number of clients in the model. So they can work a shift, they make great pay plans, they have a career opportunity, and then there's a cultural aspect to this business that's very attractive as well, especially with the brand. This is a cultural brand, this is a lifestyle brand, part of what Allison created and actually continues to do in the brand is really drive this culture. So key here is, you know, this is a type of employee that it's not a job for them. This is not a minimum wage earner that that you're going to have a lot of turnover with. This is an employee that, you know, paid some of their hard-earned money to get their certification to do what they do, and then especially when they, you know, you get them in a model like this, they're going to really connect because they have the opportunity to really work with so many more people. This type of instructor or person, if you will, or individual, they want to impact. They want to be a catalyst for change in people's lives. So if they can do that in a group format where they're impacting more, where there's a positive energy in the room, there's a cultural aspect of that, it's much more attractive to them than doing one-on-ones in a sporadic schedule that's inconsistent. The other obvious advantages here is for them working in an independent at this point, there's no marketing system behind them. There's no branding and marketing campaign. There's no systems and structure, you know, and there's no really methods for them to really graft to teach a variety of classes. So there's so many advantages for them to work in a system like this that they can really grow in. And that's the beauty of the career opportunity that I love to talk about. Your clients that will gravitate towards this model will really like that they can actually empower, you know, employees in their community and help them to grow as a career opportunity. They will also like the fact that from a business model standpoint, you don't need a lot of them. So in order to operate the business, you really need about 4 or 5 instructors. You'll talk with franchisees and validation that start off even, you know, maybe 3 instructors. If we're teaching maybe 35 to 40 classes a week, you need a couple part-timers. So, you know, I think Allison and Anthony recommend, you know, that we start off with 3 or 4 initially, but really when we're fully ramped up, rocking and rolling, you know, we might need 4 to 5, and that's about it. So we all love simple, straightforward business model. So with this one, what's neat is you don't need a lot of employees to operate the business, and they're not minimum wage earners that we're going to turn over left and right in the model either. So these are what I call kind of seasoned technicians that we give them a great career opportunity. And like anything, you know, if we have good business leaders in these things, they're going to have a lot better opportunity to retain and keep their employees for a long period of time. The business model itself, I love. At St. Gregory, again, we really look for concepts that are simple, straightforward for the franchisee to execute upon. We don't like a lot of complexity. Obviously, we love models that have a more reasonable cost of entry and, of course, stellar unit economics. We love any model that has a membership component to it that can create a consistent, predictable, recurring revenue stream. And of course, you know, we specialize in really executive models that are managed to manager that we can scale. We know we work with a lot of investors and with the franchisors, so that are coming from the outplacements. So this is such a great fit for that prospect. Even if they are looking for another position, they can look at this in parallel because it's semi-absentee And we certainly have a number of owners in the system that are operating it as a manage-the-manager type model. Okay, so very simple, straightforward to execute. I'll talk a little bit more about the business model now. For starters, again, keep in mind that when we come into a marketplace, you've got to leverage what's already there. So what's incredible about this one is when we go into the marketplace, there is no direct head-to-head brand competitor that we go up against. So we're going to really leverage the fact that the main competition we're going to have in the marketplace is the independent. So you all are familiar with Buxton. You know, Anthony really is investing in the brand to do it the right way, as we'll talk a little bit about. But we've made the investment in Buxton. And so we've mapped out the entire country from a development standpoint. We know the psycho demographics and the different core segments for the brand. So when we go into the marketplace and really leverage the existing marketplace, your candidates will talk to franchisees that are going into marketplaces where they're opening smack dab in the middle of a trade area where there are maybe two or three other independents, and they're having incredibly fast ramp ups because we have other independent businesses that just cannot compete with this model. Can't compete with the value proposition, can't compete with the offering, can't compete with the sophistication of the marketing brand. So that's a huge opportunity when you're really the first mover. The way I really coach this a little bit to your prospects at times is that this is like massage envy 15 years ago. At that time, you know, you had a ton of retail massage that existed all over the country in an independent fragmented form, but there was no brand there. So massage envy was really the first. You know, and at that time you had basically mom and pop retail massage, and then you had some high-end day spas, but that was about it. So they came into the market and they leveraged that. Then, of course, there were other brands that followed, but if you had to be somebody, who'd you be? You know, you'd be Massage Envy. I mean, they control about 30% of the market share, and they have 2,000 units open, and they control a lot of the best real estate. So, you know, that's our position here with Pilates. You know, Pilates exists in every single DMA in the country, and it has for decades, and now we're coming in and leveraging that, and that's a huge opportunity. Now, the other opportunity here is, you know, Anthony has really brought with him his entire team from his previous endeavor, including Vice President of Real Estate, Vice President of Marketing, or, you know, President and General Counsel who's on the line today, Sean. You've got everything from project managers to Director of Franchise Operations, and it's all under the hood. General Counsel, CFO, this thing is way over-engineered even for where it is today. But Anthony fully understands the growth that we're heading into and is prepared for that. But as a part of that, really, they've developed a marketing strategy to really be able to expand on what Allison really set out to do, which is really open this up to so many different segments that have never tried Pilates. When your prospects validate with franchisees, they're also going to hear that we're really bringing a lot of new types of clients to the brand that have never tried Pilates before. So it's not just leveraging an already existing market, but it's also introducing it to so many segments that have never experienced it before, but now can because it's at an affordable price point and because of the marketing machine that we've got here. I don't want to get too far into the weeds in terms of all the nuts and bolts, but there is a plan and a branding strategy to really to build the studios in the local market, but also as a national brand. Now, the business itself today, the franchise offering, is 100% membership-based. Anthony will tell you that he's done the market research and found that the more options that you give to a consumer, the less decisions they make. So what they've created is really kind of a small, medium, large option. So they basically have three components to the membership. They have a 4- and 8-pack auto renew, so it's basically 1 or 2 times per week. It's auto renew, so it's use it or lose it, and it's monthly EFT. It hits every 30 days. Or they have an unlimited. And the price points will vary a little bit per market based on really the cost per real estate. In general, they have floor pricing, and then the franchisees can price up from there based on the marketplace. So, you know, I'll give you examples of the pricing strategy offline, but typically you'll see about $99 to anywhere from 99 to 199 in terms of the price points for the various membership options. The beauty of the membership is obvious. You have consistent, predictable, reoccurring revenue that happens every 30 days. There's no spoilage. There's no churn. There's no accounts receivable. There's no cash. You're not chasing down renewals. You're not constantly having to worry about burn rate or frequency. It all happens automatically. And I love it. As you all know, I've been a part of other membership models, and I'm a big fan. I've actually owned a fitness concept that was package-driven, and three of the things that were always really challenging were always, you know, facing those renewals, and as well as really constantly always worrying about burn rate. You know, someone that bought, let's say, a 25-pack that's doing an average of 2 days per week, you would expect them to get through that in about 90 days. If they do 8 or 9 sessions a month. That typically strings out to 6 months, and so it's not a productive model. With the membership model, what happens is if there's an upcoming vacation that's coming up or if Johnny gets sick, the client will work towards getting his sessions booked ahead. They'll double book before and double book after that week of vacation, or they'll make up those classes because they don't want to lose those classes. So there's an intuitive motivator there for the client to get those courses in. And what happens when someone is consistent with their fitness program? Well, it's easy. They get better results. What happens when a client is getting better results? They stay more engaged in the brand. So it's a beautiful model. And so you really kind of have two classes in this system. You have basically a legacy system, and then you have a system of new franchisees. So we'll coach your candidates on that in the process. The new franchisees are coming out of the box with incredible results with the membership piece, unbelievable results. The legacy franchisees that are jumping on to the new membership model are literally seeing 100 to 200% improvements in the business in a very short period of time when engaging in that. So, again, that's validating in the system. In fact, I just got a note from Anthony over the weekend. One of our new store openers in an area of L.A. called Granada Hills. It's no Beverly Hills. It's an okay market. In his first 60 days, he secured 220 members. And in his second month, he did $44,500 in gross revenues in his second month. He validated through his positive cash flow on the first month that he opened. He's basically secured an annual unit volume run rate in his second month of over $500,000 in gross or in unit volume. Furthermore, at about item 19 is representing almost a 40% of revenue that falls to the bottom line. So he's at about $215,000 in EBITDA in terms of an annual run rate in his second month. And he's singing for us. And so, and we've got other franchisees like in Jupiter 4 that just opened that secured 50 members on the membership in the first week. So incredible results out of the box with these new owners. And then, you know, the legacy system is really, you know, excited about the new model going forward. And many of them are jumping on board onto the new membership model. So your prospects, again, are going to love the fact that we've got a simple, straightforward model that's membership-driven, that's managed the manager, that's an executive model with very few employees, and it's a reasonable cost of entry to get into. We'll talk about the financials here in a minute. The franchise model itself, I've touched on this, but just to kind of tie it down a little bit more, you know, we kind of transitioned from an entrepreneurial, you know, kind of legacy franchise system, which was great, but now to really what I call a world-class franchisor, you know. And what's beautiful about this, and I coach your candidates on this too, is usually you don't get both. And what I mean by that is usually if you get the original entrepreneur and Allison, I mean, that's tremendous. You know, but you don't have the advantage of new money and a lot of the systems and support that come with that new money. On the flip side, if you get the new money, usually the original entrepreneur is rode off in the sunset and you don't have that founder still involved. So the way this deal was structured is Allison is still a part owner in the brand, and so she's focused on her true love, which is really the cultural aspect of the brand and really the educational side of it, helping our franchisees find and hire and train their instructors. It's invaluable to have, you know, the original entrepreneur, their passion still flows through, you know, the veins of the brand. And then on the flip side, you've got Anthony, this world-class franchise store, who's brought his entire team, and I mean his entire team, from this previous endeavor. So when your prospective franchisees come into Discover Day, guys, I cannot express enough how well this brand shows. It is painfully apparent how seasoned this group is and really how much they understand the business. They've all really grown another boutique fitness brand, and this is really everything is applicable to this brand. It's just a different segment. So they all speak it extremely well. They show well. They're a fun group, but they're very sharp. And it's also really apparent that, you know, Anthony is really investing in the growth of this brand to really do it right. So one of the things I'm going to encourage with your prospects is that we want to get them through the educational process, certainly have them validate, but it's got to just come and really to truly validate the model. They've got to come to Discover Day and really kind of get inside this brand, kind of touch, feel, smell it, meet the team, really see what they're doing. Because once they do that, it's really clear this thing is destined for success. There will be no question in their mind after they leave Discover Day. On that note, we've got a tremendous Discover Day whipped up. It's our day and a half. As typical with our St. Gregory brands, we do reimburse up to $500 of the airfare to bring them in. We will reserve and pay for their hotel room and, pick up a nice dinner for them while they're in town as well. They are going to fly into SoCal. It's not a bad place, especially, you know, during the cold weather months. So we want to get your clients out to really experience the brand, to really help them make an informed decision on the opportunity. Anthony has really also kind of, Anthony and Sean, you know, really ensuring that we've got support systems in place. So they have, you know, Vice President of Real Estate, Richard, who really drives the real estate process with local brokers in the market and relationships that they've had for years. You know, they have Vice President of Marketing in-house, and they have Project Manager. So they have all these services in-house, so that we can really make this as much kit in a box as possible for the franchisee to really come in and do what they do best, which is really execute. They don't have to recreate the wheel, if you will, in terms of the franchise model. Now, the investments. The item 7 shows a range from about 151 to 237 as the total projected initial investment. A high percentage of these studios have opened in Southern California, as where the brand is based and where Allison had a lot of organic growth. So, you know, some of the highest cost structure that we will see, you know, in the country. So we really expect in most markets other than coastal markets like California or New York for these things to come in under $200,000 for the total investment. That includes development fee, equipment, which is a good chunk of the investment, build out, which is pretty minimal in these things, startup operating capital, FF&E, everything. And one of the neat things about this model is that it has a very fast path to opening. So for a few reasons. What I usually tell people is, you know, you got it in most concepts, and you know there are some retail brands out there that validate that might take you 2 years to open in retail. No exaggeration. I mean, best case scenario usually would be 6 months. These guys are validating about 4 months to open in most scenarios because it's about a 90-day real estate process, and then from the time that the lease is signed, it's 30 days to open. These guys have it down. Partly due to the fact that, first of all, on the real estate side of it, they already have the broker relationships, the commercial real estate broker relationships in every single market. So when we have, for example, we have 10 buying groups coming to Discover Day next week. Our vice president of real estate has already pinged all the local brokers in the marketplace. So once a franchisee comes on board, they're immediately hitting the ground, sprinting in the real estate process, looking at sites. The advantage that we have also in the site selection process is that there aren't any other brands in the retail setting that we're going into here. So unless there's the obscure mom and pop, we have a pretty wide open opportunity in terms of locating our 1,500 square foot box. Okay. Then once we sign the lease, there's very, very minimal build out. And to go back to that picture, you know, basically we're putting in wood laminate flooring and paint. And then, you know, we're bringing the equipment in, which we have a company called Gym Rinse that installs it in 3 days. So it's a very fast opening process. Then we have our soft opening and moving to the grand opening. But your prospects will like that if they want to get their business open quickly, start generating revenue fast, this is a great model for that. Again, the owners that are opening under the new system are validating incredibly fast paths to ramp up their business to making money. In fact, faster than I've seen of any retail concepts I've been a part of. I mean, typically, I mean, I used to say, Phil will say, that in retail, you know, it's kind of the first 12 months is, you know, the time to get to break even. You don't typically hear retail businesses opening and literally making money from the day the swing the doors open because of pre-sales. So incredibly strong in terms of the financial opportunity. In terms of our financial requirements, we want to see about $100K in liquidity and about $300K for the approval. Now, they won't probably need all that. I mean, for a single unit, if they're doing financing, they'll probably need about, 25 to 30% cash injection. The SBA will be about 70 to 75% LTV. So we're looking at anywhere from 50 to 75K that the prospect will need in terms of cash to do the project. Now, no one's really pretty, I mean, I shouldn't say no one. We will, let me make sure I'm clear on this, we will do single units for someone that wants to do a single, but we won't do a lot of them. I mean, most of our prospects, the average deal on this one will be a three-pack, and they'll look to do an area development agreement and really build those units out because they're not looking for onesie, twosies. Our prospects are going to be looking to really get into a manage-the-manager scalable model and build multiple units. So typically multi-units is very typical. Now, we're going to have we have updated FPRs in the Item 18, which are stellar, guys. So to kind of just I'm going to verbally tell you what they are, and then I'm going to update this on the two-minute drill for you in the system. But basically, the Item 19 is showing right now average unit volumes in the system of 3.25, with a percentage of EBITDA of about 40%. So an average unit is showing about $125,000. In EBITDA for an average unit. Now that's, I'm going to coach your candidates that that's in the old system. That's the old system that was basically package driven and essentially with one revenue stream. The new model, again, is membership based. We've added the one-on-one component into it. We've added the retail component into it. So you have multiple revenue streams and a membership model that is just stellar. So again, your prospects are going to validate with franchisees that are just knocking it out of the park with the membership model. And already in the first or second month showing unit volumes, on an annual unit volume based on a monthly reoccurring revenue of stronger than what they're seeing in the item 19. Now the item 19 is good. It's really good. I mean, any model that for about a $200,000 investment can show off $1.25 and it's scalable and you can spend a minimum amount of time in it. That's a great model. But again, what they're going to validate with some of these new franchisees is that the unit volume potential is going to be much greater than that. We fully expect these things doing anywhere from 300 to 800 members in them, which will produce, $500,000 to $750,000 and up in terms of unit volumes at better than a 40 to 50% margin. So just incredible financials. I mean, from a profit share contribution standpoint, once the fixed costs are covered, guys, then, the margins go up substantially. All right, speaking of fees, the referral fees on this one for a single will be 28. Again, we'll do very few of those. Average deal will be a three-pack, which will pay you all $50,000 in referral fees. And then we will do larger packs, but we want to see that, they're financially qualified to to get these things open, as we've got a lot of interest around this one, and it's going to be a fast mover, guys. And so we've got a lot of momentum around it, and really, really excited to get this one rocking and fanning. I really think this can easily be, our next rocket ship, and very, very excited to work with the Franditors on this next one. So I've got about 15 or so minutes left. A good time to maybe open it up to some Q&A. Thank you for letting me overview, what I see in terms of the opportunity with the brand. As always, I will personally be overseeing every referral that you send to us, and for most of them, working them from initial to the close, and really look forward to working with your referrals. So with that, I think we've got Anthony, Allison, and Sean unmuted, so I'd love to be able to have them answer some questions as well. Let's open it up to the field.
Just one moment.
The conference has been unmuted.
Hey, Lance.
Hey, Lance. How are you?
Hey, John. Hey, great. John. How are you?
Great. How are you?
John, I was hearing an echo there. I think you were asking me what the referral fee is. So the license fee for $49.5, single $125 for three-pack, the referral fee to you are $28.50. On a single and a three-pack.
On a three-pack.
Did I get your question, John?
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, I'm getting a bounce back. I don't know if it's just me or the whole system.
Other questions out there?
How do you accomplish a 500-hour training program?
I'm sorry, I'm getting a big echo there. Can you say that again?
I can't understand you either.
Kimberly, any idea what we're getting? Fast feedback?
Yeah, we're working on that now.
I'm pretty excited about it.
The conference has been unmuted.
Lance, can you go ahead and proceed, and let's see if we're still getting that bad echo.
That sounds better right there now, Kimberly, whatever you did there.
Okay. Thank you. I do apologize. I do not know what happened there.
No problem. Sorry, go ahead with questions here. I'd love for the team to be able to pipe in.
Yes, how do you accomplish a 500-hour training program for your instructors?
Allison, you there?
Yes, I'm here. That's pretty much industry standard in the Pilates world, so most Pilates equipment-trained instructors will already have that amount of training.
So I might clear that up, too. So basically, that's an accredited certification that someone that is not certified can actually get through Club Pilates. Our typical instructor that we're going to hire already has a certification. And so we do basically a three-day orientation program in the model. So they don't have to go through a 500-hour instructor training program to teach Pilates in our brand if they already have a certification.
Okay.
what kind of marketing launch in terms of what people do to get the word out? Is there a formal mandatory or recommended pre-opening or grand opening program?
There is. I'm going to, again, let some of the other team members speak here. Anthony, you want to talk to that one?
Sure, absolutely. The marketing launch is actually broken up into a construction, a soft opening, a grand opening, and then a stabilized marketing phase. So we actually give our franchisees a pro forma that shows, along with the marketing agenda, how many units and at what price and gross revenue they should be generating while in construction, which is typically about 3 to 4 weeks. Their soft opening phase, which is about 3 to 4 weeks, and then their grand opening phase. And after that, we break everything down weekly, and then after that, we break it down monthly for them to show them exactly, precisely what to do, and not only that, but what results are predicted so that they can make sure that not only are they spending money on marketing, but they're also getting a return on investment that is stable with all the other openings that we've seen across the country.
Thank you.
Hey, Lance, I'm going to try one more time. Maybe I can hear you. You can hear me better. But on the franchise fee, help me that. What's a three pack? Is it $150,000 or is there a discount?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, I can hear you good now, John. Thanks. So it's $125 for the three pack, and
okay, great.
That'll be an area development agreement. Yeah, and then your fees on that are $50. Yeah,
got it. Okay, great. I'll be back. I'll get back with you. Thanks.
Yeah, that's cool. Other questions out there from the fan owners?
Hey, can you guys address what the customer count must look like before somebody can hit break even?
Anthony, you want to fill that one?
Sure. Break even is typically at about 100 units. The average price per member out there is $159 a month. We're selling ranges from $139 to $199. We allow a min-max across the country for each of the franchisees, so that if they're in a less dense population, they can charge a little bit less on the same packages. So if you have 100 members, you're looking at approximately $16,000 in gross, which is our average break-even nationwide. And then if you're in, you know, a more dense area, rent's a little bit higher, then potentially, you know, you might be in the $125 to $150 range. As I'm sure you're aware, most retail leases, we tend to get about 90 days free rent. So this puts franchisees really in a profitable position during the ramp up and then also during the sustained operations afterward.
And how many square feet was it that you need for this?
That's an average of 1,500 square feet. So we can do it in, you know, 1,300, we've done it in 1,800 or 2,000, but if we had to pick an exact sweet spot, you know, it'd be about 1,500 square feet.
Okay, great. And then just real quick on the demos, because it appears that you're getting a larger demo than maybe a typical health club because of men or older people can do this. Just talk to me a little bit about some of the folks that you have that are using the service.
Yeah, right now primarily it's used by females, and we've been focusing on the male demographic. And since purchasing the company in March, we've actually doubled the amount of male membership. If you go to our website, you'll now see pictures of, you know, men surfing and rock climbing and skateboarding and just different things as we focus on this concept of do Pilates, do life. Which really is focused around nothing more than that, you know, 1 hour Pilates makes the other 23 hours of life that much better, whether you're sleeping or doing any type of activity. So that's kind of where the focus is now is, you know, we've realized and, you know, since we are the largest Pilates company in the world, you know, we're really for us to go into a town and try and take the, you know, the studios over, their clientele over that may have two or three reformers. That's a much harder way to go than it is to just develop a, you know, a new demographic and a new niche, you know, and creating classes for, you know, seniors and men and teens as well as women. And so that's where we're really seeing the market appreciation.
Okay, terrific. Thanks.
Do we have any other questions from the Friend Matters?
Is it correct that if with this a three-pack, $125,000 for the franchise fees, first store open, to get additional stores open, are they going to be about $100,000 to open each additional location?
If their franchise fee on a three-pack is $125,000, their per-unit fee is about $41,600. And so, you know, on the high side, probably the rest of the equipment build-out and everything else is about $150,000.
Okay, so $150,000 that you're quoting there for an investment range, $150,000 is inclusive of the franchise fee or not inclusive?
$200 is inclusive of the franchise fee for a single. If you're doing a three-pack, then basically you can kind of think about it as being about that $250,000 because you've got an additional $75,000, if you will, $275,000. You've got an additional $75,000 in license fees for the two additional licenses.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
But Lance, just to follow up on that, I think we should – so if you've got one open, to open up another one, it's going to be about another $150,000.
That's okay. Right, or less, yeah. Any other questions, guys?
Good. Excited about it. I'm anxious to talk to you more, Lance. Take care.
Yeah, John. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Well, Lance, if there's no more calls and no more questions, I'd like to thank everyone for joining in on this call, and I'll be in touch with you directly after.
Very good. Thank you all for joining. Look forward to working with you on this one. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Lance.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Thank you all.